Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It was just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints, won't you? I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
Yes, and welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here, coming from Crow Park in Dublin. GAA headquarters, where Jim McGuinness's Green and Gold have defeated Louth by 123 to 18 points. It means Donegal will play Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final in 2 weeks' time. It's Donegal's first appearance in the last four for 10 years. In this edition, on the Sunday evening, we hear from former Kerry great Zara O'Kaneda. We also touch base with Michael Verney of the Irish Independent. We also hear from All-Ireland winner with Tyrone, Enda McGinley, multiple winner, of course. But first, a quick look back at the action with my co-commentator this afternoon, Manus Boyle from Killy Beggs, and here's what he had to say.
We came up with the expectations, Paddy, that we were going to win. I think most people did that. You were just maybe a bit afraid that we would, you know, there'd be a bit of taking it for granted, but the players delivered 123, great bit of scoring. They've been excellent throughout the year. They haven't taken the foot off the gas. In an All-Ireland quarter-final, they'll be delighted with that. They'll go back home, they'll take the positives, and they'll come back stronger next year. Donegal in the next couple of weeks, they'll get down to work probably Tuesday night. They'll look at all the good things they've done, but they'll also look at the fact that they conceded 18 points, and that'll be something that Jim will certainly have a look at. There was very little physicality in this game. I wouldn't expect the same against Galway. I would expect a much more physical game, a much more intense game, a lot more physicality, as I said. But I think if we continue to do what has been probably the template of Jim's success, very little wides, shooting when we have the opportunity, and taking our scores when we need to at the start, settling down quickly, doing all the simple things right, and it, you know, that's been what's brought us through to the All-Ireland semi-final for the first time, as you said, in 10 years. And I think Jim will hope to build on that in the next couple of weeks and prepare them for another battle.
Kerry and Derry are up next, the Kingdom, the All-Ireland finalists last year, warming up into the Hill 16 end, and no prizes for guessing who's man of the match. Looking at the Mount Charles man, Patter Mogan, up on the big screen, he's collected that prize. Just to reiterate that, because some of this content will be released for the Donegal GAA podcast tonight, Manus. Patter Mogan, people are talking about a shoe-in for an all-star. If Donegal can even win one more game and make a final, he may not be far off player of the year. He's been 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm not sure that, I mean, Patter's entire goal will be to be the best player or to win any individual awards. I don't think players go out to do that. I certainly, in my time, I don't think players went out to do that. But he's been excellent. But also, it's about the team ethic that Jim has installed in them. They work hard for one another. When they're taken off, regardless who they are, there's no histrionics, there's no throwing the toys out of the pram. It's about the process, it's about winning, it's about getting to the next round and preparing the team, and it's about the entire squad. And that's what Jim and his management team have been all about, even his last management team, that's what it's been all about. And this time is no different. And Conor Mogan expresses that more than anybody else.
By the time this is released tonight or tomorrow morning, under a lot of people listening back, Monday morning commute, we'll have a result in Derry, Kerry. We don't know at the moment. Galway are through, Armagh are through. No matter what happens, it's going to be Donegal, Galway, the weekend of the 13th, 14th of July. And I suppose just for the here and the now, at the start of the season, the first ambition was the Division 2 League. Green tick, okay? Ulster Championship, not many people give Donegal a chance of winning that, because Derry, the form they were coming into it. Then there was Tyrone, then there was an Ulster final against Armagh. Green tick. The next one, we had to travel halfway around the country after winning Ulster, given the new structure. One little blip against Cork, but Donegal, green tick, topped the group. And I suppose the next one, green tick, making All-Ireland semi-final. They're passing all these exams so far, Manus. It's only going to get tougher, I know.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, I suppose if you look back for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been in the thralls of a Dublin era that probably will never be achieved again. Declan Bunner had Donegal for 4 years, and it was either Dublin or Kerry. They were so strong. But this same group of players were there. They were learning. They were understanding what they needed to do to progress, to be at the same level as the Dublins, as the Mayos, as the Galways, as the Kerrys. Then last year, a really bad and a dark summer for Donegal. The way that we handled the Paddy Carr situation, the way that probably the team went out on a number of occasions and certainly didn't do themselves as individuals any justice, but certainly didn't do the county justice in any way. And I suppose Jim coming in, that appointment, give a huge boost to everybody. The players know his reputation. They knew it was either get back to the hard work or forget about it. And to be fair, they've knuckled down. They've done the hard work. I know the training sessions haven't been easy. He asks for everything. He doesn't ask for 99%. He asks for everything. And the players have reacted and they've given that.
Just going to make our way over here. We're going to hand back to the studio now. Manus, I haven't asked this question before. The players, as you said, it's great bringing in McGuinness. He facilitates it, as you said before. But those players, they've really knuckled down, haven't they? And they're giving great pride back to the people of Donegal. Because there's other things going on in the world. We say that every week. But sometimes this is a nice distraction. People are up here and they've, just to a man, they're really putting a smile back in people's faces.
Yeah, I suppose much of the talk of Donegal at times can be very negative. And then when the footballers come along and they do something good, and the hurlers this year as well, you know, when they do something good, it kind of gives everybody a lift. The one thing I'll say, I mean, Jim McGuinness can put everything in place, but it is the players that do it. They've worked extremely hard. I know from the likes of Owen Bann that had a bad injury, the amount of work that he had to do to get himself fit and get back and to be scoring a goal today in Croke Park, you know, will make all that justified. But it'll not be justified until they reach that promised land, and they know that. That's, Jim didn't come back here to get us into quarterfinals, semi-finals or Ulster finals. Jim has only come back to do one thing with this group of players, and the players know that. So they're a plan in place, so they either get on board or they get on the road, and they're on board.
Last one before we hand back. I've actually not asked this yet to anybody on a podcast or on air on Uncommentary. I haven't really thought about it, but Donegal are in the last four. Obviously, there's a semi-final there, there's a final. Galway have taken out Dublin. Can this Donegal team win the All-Ireland, Manus? I honestly, genuinely have not thought about it.
I don't see any reason why they can't win the All-Ireland. I would see no
reason.
You're
not saying they are, you're just saying you see no reason. Yeah,
they are two different things. Even if they were in the last two, I wouldn't say they could win it. Because now you're coming to the top four teams. Dublin didn't show the appropriate hunger last night that they needed to play Galway. Donegal, even though they probably were odds on to come through this game, showed that hunger, showed that appetite, and that was expressed in huge numbers when they played Derry in the first round. They set their stall in the first round in Celtic Park, and they've grown since that. The confidence is there, the ability is certainly there, and the belief, especially because Jim has been there before, has done that, they'll believe in everything that he'll ask them to do, and they'll do it. But you don't take anybody for granted. It can be a kick of a ball. I would have to say the Clare game and this game, there has been no physicality in it. There's been that, not that great intensity that you would expect. I would say now we're going to another level, and Jim will know that, and he'll expect the players to move up that other level in the next 2 weeks. And then we'll see after the Galway game, can we progress that wee bit further? I think, you know, this game, this about to start now, Kerry and Derry is superb, because everybody had it at Kerry Dublin All-Ireland Final, and that's what's great about sport. It throws up anomalies, and who knows, it could be Armagh Donegal.
Will Donegal beat Galway? It's a big ask,
but you know, the test that Galway had last night, it'll stand to them. Will the Louth game test, did this Louth game test Donegal? I'm not sure it was a hard enough test for Donegal. Galway will be, again, another level up.
They're a big physical side, and we need Jason McGee back for that one of all the games.
And also what Galway showed last night, that it's not about your first 15, it's about the next 5 or 6 that comes on after that, and how they integrate themselves into the game when they come in. And to be fair to Pádraig Joyce last night, he made his changes when he needed them most, and when you have the likes of Shane Walsh, Paddy Comer, you know, Conroy, you know, Kelly, a lot of good players, and you have to contend with all them. But I have no doubt Jim will sit down tomorrow, maybe even tonight. He'll go through the Galway team, and he'll prepare for Tuesday night, and he'll get the players ready, and that's all he can do, and hopefully the players will react to that.
With former Tyrone legend Enda McGinley, now a pundit, of course, with RTE, and a damn good one at that. I mentioned good pundit, probably not for the purest, that one. Okay, so for our listeners, Donegal will now play Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final, and just seconds ago, Kerry have defeated Derry by 5 points. Your overall thoughts?
A huge weekend in terms of the championship, simply because of what happened yesterday in terms of Galway putting out Dublin. The Kerry-Derry match that we have just suffered through, would you say? I think suffered through. I had to commentate on it. I pity the people having to listen to it. Even the great Micheál Ó Maire Shaoirse, I think, would have struggled to make that one interesting, God rest him. But look, quarterfinals, just survive them, and for all them teams now going forward, they'll all fancy their chances. Like Donegal will absolutely fancy their chance to take down Galway. Galway will fancy their chances, having come through so much and having obviously taken out Dublin. Their confidence will be sky high. Kerry's confidence will be sky high, because they know they're probably the strongest, most experienced team in it. And Armagh, first semi-final in so long, will be delighted to be there, and won't have seen anything, certainly in that match, that they don't think they can replicate. Like, Kerry really, really struggled to break down Derry's defensive rear guard action, and that's how Armagh are sort of setting up now too. So look, it's all to play for. The semi-finals, you'd just be hope. It's just disappointing, I suppose. The quarter-final, that last one, we had built it up so much, it could have been a classic. It really wasn't. But look, we move on. We'll have the semi-finals in 2 weeks.
What did you make of Donegal?
Donegal got the job done. I thought they were exceptionally organised, as you expect. Louth has caused a lot of teams huge difficulty this year, including Dublin, and are a difficult team, a sticky team to put away. I thought Donegal were comfortable, to be honest. I thought they bossed the game. They were 8-9. I thought it was looking as if it was going to be a 10-point victory, which is not an easy thing to do at all. They had a decent shape to the forward line. Were they playing at their absolute best? No. I was quite surprised to see how many of them really seemed out on their feet at the end. So they certainly put in a huge effort that way. But in terms of what they've done and where they've come from this year, I don't know if they would have fully believed that an All-Ireland was on. Jim might have been trying to get them to believe that. But I think, seeing Dublin out of the way, I think they will firmly believe that now. So and they've Galway. I don't think they'll fear Galway at all. So for a chance to get to an All-Ireland final, like for that Donegal squad, can you imagine telling them last November, December that you can be in an All-Ireland final? Like, that's such an amazing chance for them.
Would you have believed it?
No, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't even think, I think for Jim McGuinness, it's probably a year or two ahead of schedule too. But he knows their chances now. Those chances don't always fall your way. So if he's got a fit squad and he's got an opponent that he thinks he can take down the semi-final, which I think he ticks both of those boxes, then he'll be saying, look, you make hay now and think about next year. So Donegal will be very happy. But look, Galway are going to be a challenge, a huge question mark. And of course, over the injuries for them, they need a fully fit squad. But no, that should be a cracking semi-final.
Can any of the four, and I'm going to let you go, I know traffic will be heavy, obviously, scientifically, they can all win it. Can they all win it in your eyes? Can Donegal win the All-Ireland? Can Galway win it? Can Armagh win it? Kerry obviously can.
Obviously, all four absolutely can. For me, I would have Kerry in pole position, quite confidently in pole position.
Okay, rank it then.
I'd have Kerry pole position, Donegal, Galway neck and neck in number two. If those Galway injuries don't clear up, then Donegal for me are definitely number two. And then Armagh in a fourth place, but in a fourth place that can potentially pull it off.
We are only guessing Donegal, Galway on the Saturday, possibly Kerry Armagh on the Sunday. Is that the kind of game though you walk away from? And I don't want to be knee-jerk, because I'm always giving out in the podcast about people that knee-jerk, but God, I was watching it there and I only said in my midweek show people need to relax a bit football, but jeepers, it is one of those ones you may turn to a different channel at home if you're watching it. It was tough, wasn't it? I'm on about the Kerry Derry game.
No, absolutely. It was a really tough struggle. And the bit that cracks me up, I fully understand why the teams are doing that, and they are in their full right. I am not part of this group that says the team should be entertaining. That's absolute rubbish. When players have put in that much, the only thing that counts is getting over that line. And there was a huge fear of losing there, Evan, today. But we also know the talent that was on that field, you could have been served an absolute classic of a game. And I think with a tweak in the rules, the game is just a few tweaks away from being absolutely amazing, because the talent, the fitness, the quality of our players is immense at the minute. And just when it's played like that, because of those defensive tactics, which, as I say again, the teams are correct to play, because that is the most effective way, unfortunately, now to play the game. Then we end up getting a game like that when we could have the alternative. But I think if the rules committee was coming forward saying, look, let's use a rugby ball, I think they'd get votes after people watched that today, you know. But I think, look, everybody's encouraged with the work that they're doing. They're going to be brave. I think there's nothing has happened there this weekend that would make anybody feel, no, don't be brave. I think they'll be saying, look, just go for it.
Just go for it. You always go for it. And McGinley, you're always so generous with your time. Thanks for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Paddy, see you again.
Okay, our next guest on the Donegal GAA podcast. Now, the Kingdom have produced many greats, and I'm certainly with one of them now, the wonderful Darragh O'Kinneada, pundit now, of course, and as good a pundit as you were as a player. That's enough compliments now I'm giving you, Darragh, but... Yeah. What did you make of, first of all, what we've just seen, the game, what, about 7-8 minutes old, your own county, Kerry, overcoming Derry? Maybe not for the old purist?
Not for the purist and not for the neutral even, you know. You'd want to be a Derry fan or a Kerry fan to have any kind of, you know, injection into that game, really. You know, even at half-time you were saying, you know, surely both teams are capable of better. It wasn't for lack of effort or endeavour, but it was just too tactical, too much thinking being done about it. Too much lateral passing. There's a video there for Jim Gavin and the lads and their committee, to be quite honest with you, you know. But
this is not what we should be talking about after, no. Is it not? And we don't want to be on complaining and going with this common rhetoric, because it's a lot of it's just cliches thrown out. But God, yeah. That was tough.
Yeah, it was. And again, like, you know, great levels of fitness, and you know, you have to. I would give Derry a serious amount of credit for, at times, a defensive masterclass, and they asked questions of Kerry, and Kerry were just as defensive themselves, but. I do think that Derry's probably long road last weekend, you know, extra time penalties came against them, you know, and they just didn't have that injection in them in the last 10-15 minutes that was needed. I think had Kerry come up against a fresher team there today, who would have put just the amount of thought into the game, they would have struggled, I think, with a lot of that. Like, but, you know, I hate, you know, beaten down on the modern game. I don't like, you know, because when I was playing myself, I hated ex-players being negative about the game I played. I get it. We all get it. But there is a lot of work to be done in terms of, you know, pleasing the spectators. That is not the prerogative of 15, 30, 40 players that played out there today. Certainly not. But, you know, you have to be honest as well and say, look, it's not hugely entertaining. They will see it as not being in the entertainment business. Kerry will see themselves in All-Ireland to be a final, job done, got over the line in the common parlance. But it's not enjoyable. And I hate being negative about a game we all love.
Yeah, 100%. Donegal, Galway now, Kerry, Armagh. That result this night really did throw this championship wide open now. And I'm not blackguarding you because you're a Kerry man. Kerry are the bookies' favourites now. They will be, but it is wide open, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember 20 years ago even when there was a thing going between Tyrone, Armagh, Kerry, the three teams, you know, around 2002, 3, 4, 5. But in 2004, I remember in one evening here, Tyrone were beaten by Mayo, Armagh were beaten by Fermanagh, and I got a million texts saying it's Kerry's to lose now, and that puts its own pressure on Kerry. But yeah, that is going to be, of course, that's going to be the rhetoric, you know, that a Kerry, you know, I suppose the assumption would have been Kerry and Dublin will be there or thereabouts at the end of the year. Now one of them aren't there, but you have four teams there, each one capable of beating the other. Kerry are going to play Armagh up next, like, and Armagh will see this as an opportunity. Kerry will see this as an opportunity to improve. On the other side, Donegal and Galway are one step away from an All-Ireland final as well. I'm not sure you'd have thought that maybe at the start of this year's league even, you know. So it's all good from their point of view, you know. It's just a pity that the likes of myself and this negative discourse is building around the game when we're reaching the latter stages of the championship, because we love this game and we want it to be just a small bit better as a spectacle, and that's just the truth of it.
Yeah, and that are the immediate emotions after it, and you can't hide that. Just finally, and you're very good, it is the Donegal GAA podcast. Are you surprised at Donegal 2024, where they're coming from?
No, I mean, I suppose the minute that Jim McGuinness took over again, you knew that there was going to be a kind of a fresh impetus there. You knew players who had looked, you know, pedestrian at times last year were going to get a fresh impetus. They have a very clear game plan, they have very high levels of fitness, and they are where they, I think, they would have expected to have been. I think people would have thought maybe that they'll go back to the old, you know, the Jim McGuinness's first year in 2011, where they reached a particular ceiling at semi-final level. There's no ceiling for this group at the moment, and certainly the way, you know, that's not a bad low team that they beat there earlier today. And, you know, the form of the likes of, you know, Padraig Mogan is holding up well, you know, Oisín Gallen is holding up well. Like, and the one issue that I would have picked up on from the Louth game that we just saw there earlier today, I do think Sean Patton is a brilliant keeper and he has a brilliant long range kick, but Donegal don't seem to want him to kick that long. I suppose they don't want to go take the chance of going long, and any time Louth did force him to go long, with a few exceptions, you know, they weren't that comfortable going long. So that's something I'm sure the part of Joyce and Galway will be looking at. But I think they're where they expected to be at the start of the year, whatever anybody else thought of them.
I'll keep this one short. Name the finalists and subsequently name the winner if you had to.
I suppose, look, the handy answer there would be Kerry and Galway wouldn't, you know, but it really is up for grabs. And as a Kerry man leaving Croke Park today, I'm certainly saying, Jesus, you know, we'd want to up it an awful lot.
Do you use no harm that type of a game all the same?
It doesn't, and you're going to get a lot of cute Kerryism playing down our chances and all that. But the reality is there are four teams left in the championship now who are all capable of beating each other on any given day. There's no team burning it up like Dublin used to, you know, and you'd say, Jesus, nobody will beat Dublin. Right now, I think Armagh will be quietly confident. Right now, I think Donegal and Galway will be quietly confident of each other's chances as well. So there's no... But I just think that if Kerry play to the level that I expect them to, and I think that Galway are facing a Donegal team that they feel that will struggle to score goals in particular now against them anyway, you know. So I think Galway will be quite happy with where they are. The big question for Galway is, can they get those injuries kind of sorted out between here and 2 weeks? That's the big one for them. And you know, Donegal are not going to surprise us. They're going to bring the same level as they did today in 2 weeks' time.
I mentioned, I promise, this is the last one. Yous lads have produced some of the greatest footballers of all time. Yous definitely had the greatest commentator of all time in Micheál Murathartaigh. No doubt, a very sad week nationally in any Gael and anybody. I think that's into sport. I always say he was bigger, I actually think, than even the GAA, but he was your own county man. Yeah. It must be a sad week in the kingdom. He was a great, wasn't he?
There's a lot of sadness, but more than anything else, there's a lot of gratitude for giving us Micheál. You know, There were times where he transcended the game. There were times where he was the game in a way, like he became the game, particularly in Munster Hurling Championships. And, you know, there was a lot of fondness and affection for him. And, you know, as Mihal O'Shea said at his funeral mass yesterday, he had the life he wanted to lead. He had a great life. So that, you know, that sadness will be tempered by the fact and the knowledge, and I hope it's some consolation to the family of how loved and respected he was and of the life he did lead. His commentary, his unique gift as a commentator, carried him all over the world to places I'm sure he never thought he'd see in 1930 when he was born in Dunsheen in West Kerry. Like, so he did have a great life, and yesterday's funeral was more a celebration of that great life as much as anything else.
That's a wonderful way to look at it, and as always, as Kerry people have a wonderful way with words, and I really appreciate you giving up your time, Dara, for coming on the Donegal GAA podcast. Go to Míle Maith.
Míle Maith, George.
Michael Verney of the Irish Endo. I'm not going to take any of your nonsense now on the podcast, because you are what I would call a hurling snob, okay? So don't be giving out about football now, because we've had good football people giving out about it. Look, we have Donegal Galway semi-final, and we have Kerry and Armagh. Your immediate thoughts after that? I know you were covering the Donegal game.
Yeah, thought Donegal were impressive enough, to be honest with you. It was 123-121 from play. You wouldn't exactly have that as your typical Jim McGuinness style football, but
one mark and one free
from Gallen. Yeah, a mark from Patrick McBrearty, some great points from distance. Like, what you have, Paddy, is you have a lot of lads that can kick from distance. Kieran Thompson, Michael Langan, Padder Morgan is playing the football of his career. He popped up with 5 from play today.
Neil Dawn All-Star.
Yeah, he is a nailed on All-Star at this stage, yeah. It's rare enough somebody gets Player of the Month and then follows it up with another Man of the Match display. It's a bit like Shane O'Donnell in the hurling at the minute. But he will be disappointed with the 18 points conceded. And the next day, they won't be scoring 123, but they'll be a lot, hell of a lot tighter at the back as well. So, yeah, I think Jim would be pretty happy. And actually, the semi-final is fascinating. Like, we all remember the video circulating in October 2020 of Jim taking a drill down in Salt Hill. He's good buddies with Pádraig Joyce. That's going to be fascinating. He said he'd just be chatting him fairly regular. Like, I'm sure up until Jim returned with Donegal, he was chatting him regular about how Galway were going, and Pádraig may even have been picking his brain. And then you have Keane O'Neill thrown into the mix as well. Jim's last game as Donegal manager. Keane was coach with Kerry when Kerry beat them 2-9-12 here 10 years ago. So just from an outsider looking in, Paddy, it's amazing what Jim has done for Donegal, for the squad and for the county. It's 10 years since they were last in semi-final. It's no coincidence that he was manager then. It's like a rising tide seems to lift all boats. The belief, I can see it in you even. I can see it in the way you're walking around. I can see it in the swagger that people have.
The proudometer, is it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and we know a lot about that down in Offaly, I can tell you that. But they will believe anything is possible. And let's call a spade, since last night the Dubs are gone. Everyone's eyes are opened a little bit more and realising all 4 semi-finalists have, it's very rare you'd say, they have a realistic chance of winning the All-Ireland. They just need to pull a result, get a result in the semi-final. You just need to progress, you just need to keep progressing. And I think that's going to be a belter of a semi-final. Galway now have pressure on them as well, because they knocked Dublin out. Now they're the favourites nearly.
Getting up again.
And it's a different story being an underdog coming in against the big hitter. Now there's a bit of pressure on them.
When will we know the semi-final lineup? So this podcast will be released Sunday night. So for people going on their Monday morning commute Tuesday, the fact it's 2 weeks now, will there be no immediate panic? May it be Tuesday? You know, when it's a week, we find out a couple hours later. In your opinion, when will we find out which is Saturday, which is Sunday?
Could well be tonight, because they were going to do a draw on the Sunday game. So
now, Paddy Power had Donegal Galway down for 5:30 on the Saturday, but they were wrong in Boyle's. But they sometimes just fire it out, don't they?
Yeah.
That's nothing to go on.
No, they're just they're looking for a date to put it up so people can part with their hard-earned cash on the match, basically. But I don't think there's any reason to wait that long, really. They know the pairings now. I'd say by the latest tomorrow morning, I'd imagine. But two interesting semi-finals. Obviously Kerry and Armagh, like, haven't met much in the championship since the 2002 All-Ireland final as well, so that'll be very interesting. But the Donegal Galway is a fascinating game, even particularly for the sideline battle as well. They're both good buddies in that, but you can bet your bottom dollar they'd love to have one over on each other as well.
That was a tough watch there, Derry and Kerry. But last night, Galway beating Dublin. Not against Dublin, but it was a breath of fresh air, wasn't it? It would be like somebody taking out Limerick in the hurling, just to open it up momentarily.
Totally, yeah. It looked like Dublin were coming into the quarterfinal, something similar to last year. Just getting ready to kind of peak and get going at that stage. I was surprised with their team selection. They went with their strongest 15, which meant they are a team that always has a bounce off the bench. And it was very similar to the Mayo game in 2021. Did no bounce off the bench. They had a lead the whole way through, spurned it as they did in 2021. Just didn't have that kick off the bench that you'd expect. And I was surprised at that. Surprised Mannion was pulled off. Surprised Jack probably didn't even come in at half time or something like that. They just didn't have those big names to see it out. And there was some uncharacteristic things down the stretch. But that was great football. I have to say, Paddy, the only issue I have is, like, I haven't been chatting to my parents yet today. Why be surprised if they even know Dublin are out of the championship? That game been behind the paywall and... particularly of the elder generation that just rely on terrestrial television. So
it's a shambles.
Yeah, no, it's a disaster, really. And particularly, like, just the way it's played out, the two games today were not great. The second game was terrible. There's no point in saying any different. So the two games on RT today were not great. The game last night was one of the biggest shocks in the championship in a long, long time. Not that many people would have seen it.
Same as Donegal Cork a couple of weeks ago in Parky Rin. Yeah. An absolute... classic, but it was on behind. Actually, it wasn't on nothing. Sorry, that game was on nothing. But the point stands, they're nearly missing the big games, the good games.
Yeah, same as Cork and Limerick in the hurling earlier on this year. Very few people would have seen it. And that, to me, that is a shame now, particularly we're at the knockout stage, it's quarter finals. Like, put Dublin behind the paywall, like, the most watched team in the country. Like, you know what I mean? That ain't no coincidence either.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. Finally, Galway. Donegal, it's a Donegal GAA podcast. Galway kind of blew that theory, even my own bloody theory that I've been harping on forever about it'll be very hard to win 3 weeks in a row. They blew that aside, and with niggles and with injuries and with, they look tired, they look fatigued, everybody thought that in the first half, and then boom, they blow that theory completely out of the water. The 2 week break, they're going to love this, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Galway booked the trend completely this weekend. Derry flagged in the last quarter. Roscommon probably flagged in the last quarter. Loud probably flagged in the last quarter. Nearly all the teams that were going for 3 weeks in a row, and with the week turnaround in particular from the last day, just didn't finish out the game. That's what makes the Galway result even more fascinating. And they will love the 2 weeks. You'd imagine Walsh should be in decent space in a fortnight's time. There are a couple of other lads have picked up niggles, but it'll feel like a month to them. It really will, just given how bang, bang, bang it's been so far. It's perfect for them. From a Donegal point of view, I think Jason McGee will be fit to be played next day. Jim said something along the lines of that he had a knock that was ongoing and just wasn't getting better, so they pulled him and have given him time. One of the best midfielders in the country at the minute. Not a bad little fella to throw back into the middle of the park the next day against a fairly potent midfield that Galway have.
I miss Jim. I was recording some of the podcasts. How was he? Was he upbeat? Did he say much?
He was good. I tell you what was interesting. He was very keen to get out to watch the other semi-final. He wasn't aware that they were playing Galway, regardless. All of a sudden, he relaxed a small bit. He wasn't in game on mode. Funnily enough, last weekend, he was in two venues in quite quick succession looking at potential teams. One of them was Salt Hill. So he's seen them at close quarters. He'll know them pretty well. Jim is in good form. He'd Ryan McHugh with him as well. Ryan McHugh could be open. Like, he could have the opportunity to open up a bit more, maybe against the Galway, because I think there's going to be a lot of attention on Morgan the next day. Just because teams will realise they can't let him come up like that. So McHugh is in good form as well. He might get a bit more space the next day. But yeah, Jim is in good form. Why wouldn't he be? He said, like, you would have as well. You would have taken anyone's arm off to be in a semi-final. But the way it's after opening up, semi-final is not enough at this stage. You want more. You always want more. The dream season of coming back, winning the Division 2 league title, winning the Ulster against the grain with three horrible games to win it. What's stopping them? What's stopping them from going two more steps?
Well, we give out a bit of football sometimes, and I'm after a couple of rants myself. Just finally, isn't the GAA great? You had it this year. With Offaly success, unbelievable. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, I wonder about people that don't have sport in their lives. Like, me and you are big snooker men. Over and back anytime Ronnie is playing. Like, the buzz you get over it. Like, last night, I switched from TG Catter to GA Go. Minor All-Ireland Minor Hurling Final. Tipperary winning for an hour with 13 men against 15 at Kilkenny. Down at Kilkenny. Unbelievable stuff. An unbelievable goal to win it. Then you switch to here and... the Dublin dynasty that we've seen since 2011, could have finished. It was an unbelievable evening. Pete, we didn't get maybe that today, but maybe we were spoiled last night. You can't have it every day.
The voice of Awfully GAA for the Irish Endo. I'm a little bit worried. We've both very long hair. We both need to go see a barber. There's seagulls flying over us here. Just in case, we better get out of here. We would be the perfect landing spot for them.
Paddy, we'll hold on to it while we have it. There's enough people don't have it, and they would give anything to have the mops we have, so I'd say keep them.
I have 99 problems. My hair's not won. Finally, just in a word, call the football. Call the finalists, then call the winner.
Kerry, Donegal, Kerry to win it.
Why did we have to leave on that note? Michael Verney of the Irish Endo, thank you for joining me yet again. You're not the first. It's not your first visit on the Donegal GAA podcast. Thank you, Michael.
Cheers, buddy.
Okay, that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. A big shout out to all my guests and to you, our loyal listeners. Just a reminder, Donegal will take on Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final in 2 weeks' time. So plenty to look forward to. And that other semi-final, of course, will feature Armagh taking on the All-Ireland finalists of last year, Kerry. A big shout out once again to Austin O'Callaghan on production. Bye for now. Stay safe. We'll have our next show in a couple of days.